not be able to make this tonight.
All right, it's 5:30, so we'll call to order the City Council work session for Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. Topics of discussion, sign code update.
All right, thank you, everyone. I've got a little slideshow to go through for you, and some of these slides are going to look familiar, especially if you tuned in or attended the Planning Commission meeting. And I'll just run through the summary of what we were doing, why we updated the sign code, some of the key features in there, and some of the items that we're looking for feedback from council on before we bring the ordinance for adoption. So our goals for updating the sign code, we wanted to make sure that there was consistency and a clear purpose of our rules, making sure that there was a clear distinction between what types of signs and sizes should be allowed in each district, make sure that it's consistent in interpretation and administration, so applicants and staff are looking at and understanding the same thing. Right now, our code is split into two different documents, as you probably saw in the staff report. Chapter 117 for most of the city for signs, and then the core framework for this area of town. And then we want to streamline processes and again, make it easier for everyone to read. So, some of the key features of the new code, we've updated a lot of our terms and definitions. Oh, there you go. We created tables for bulk standards, so similar to what we did with the zoning code update a few years ago. Tried to tableify everything, so that way it's easier to just go look at which category of zoning district you're in and see what the number is. We condensed and simplified a lot of the performance standards. There's a lot of duplicated language in there right now, so we tried to clean that up. And then we have some new graphics in there. Some of them came from the city of Iasanti, who was happy to share those images with us, and then we created a few new ones that they didn't have.
Question real quick. Mm-hmm. Is there any significance to the line through that channel letter sign?
That was my attempt at putting a raceway behind it.
Okay. Sounds good.
So
I just wasn't sure if you were saying, like, we're not doing this type of sign.
Oh, yeah. Great question.
Disregard.
So some of the other features for the new code, we want to update most of these standard sections to align with the zoning code and align with current practices. There's a table that talks about all of the types of signs and if they're allowed without a permit, allowed with a permit, allowed with a building permit, or if they're prohibited. So that way, if anybody is looking to install X type of sign, they can go to that table, see where they fall. And then with that table, there's also a list of required submittals if they do need a permit. So if they're looking for just the regular sign permit, here are the list of things that you need to send us. If there's a building permit, there's a few more things that they need to send in. And then we added some construction and maintenance standards that just generally keep us in line with the market, and that was with input from building inspections, code enforcement, and economic development.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Brian, did you mention that with the ADA standards, we're not supposed to use tables as much because the reading, or does that affect this? Start doing that now versus...
No, because this will eventually get uploaded into what we use, like MuniCode, which is all online, and they'll make sure it's good.
Okay, thank you.
It's more in the, I think, PDF documents that we have on our website.
Okay.
Good question.
Thank you.
Awesome. So the Planning Commission's guidance, the most recent round of reviewing this with the public hearing, they chose to eliminate window signage regulations. Right now, businesses are limited to 30% of their window area. You look at some of the businesses here in the core, it's typically well exceeded, but we haven't received any complaints on it. Typically, folks don't apply for permits for them either. So we presented it to Planning Commission, their guidance was to just eliminate those requirements altogether. The guidance also was to update the EMC regulations to get them in line with our off-premise digital billboard signs. We didn't change anything with the off-premise signs. Those rules are staying through. The only thing that we changed with billboards was to refresh the definition with help from the city attorney to make sure that we're steering away from regulating content. That's an area that we could get in trouble. But our new refreshed definition generally has a lot of the same words as the old one, just brings us to the 21st century. So a calendar of all of the different meetings. I didn't list all of the individual topics that we brought to Planning Commission one by one, but the public hearing was on March 25th. Tonight is the work session to garner feedback, see if there's any things that we need to change before bringing it forward for the introduction of the ordinance, which is planned for April 22nd. And then second reading and adoption is planned for May 13th. The idea is that it would go into effect mid-June, which generally lines up with construction season and when some of our new businesses are getting ready to put sign packages together. So with that, one general topic that I wanted to get feedback from the council on was regarding temporary signs. Some of the biggest sticking points or items that have maybe changed in perspective or guidance over the years include required permits, especially if we're looking to regulate where and how long a temp sign can be out. We don't really have a mechanism right now for temporary signs that are in the right-of-way, so especially for directing traffic to temporary or like one-day events like Parade of Homes, Game Fair, Happy Days. We have certain like city-owned parcels that we can put signs out for the government side of putting up temp signs for directional signage, but we don't really have a mechanism for putting signs in the right-of-way, and that's typically where most people will put their temp signs. And then lastly, we're looking for guidance on how to enforce the code for temporary signs. Should we be proactive, reactive, some sort of combination, or should we, in general, just stick to the existing regulations? I've got a couple slides to show visually what's allowed and what's not allowed. I know a few of you were at the Planning Commission meeting as Planning Commissioners when you saw these slides, so these are fairly similar for images. So this slide shows some of the allowed temporary signs in the core. As you can see, it's a definitely older because the skyline on Sunwood's got a big building behind it now. same as Home 2 Suites. But these are some examples of signs that are allowed in the core that would be classified as temporary.
And what, I know maybe you just said that, what is that specific temporary question? Like, is that what we're doing now? What defines temporary right now? Like, how do you define temporary versus permanent?
Generally, permanent is something that's going to have a foundation or it's anchored to a wall for the intent of being there for a very long duration, like the length that a business is in operation, something like that. Temporary is more, it's going to be out there for a couple days, a couple of weeks to draw attention to a specific event, a sale, grand opening, things of that nature. So something that's a lot shorter in duration. Construction signs fall into that too. Typically, something's not going to be in construction, under construction in perpetuity. There's generally a start and end date. Once that end date's reached, then the permanent signage goes up. The temporary signage goes away.
Any other questions on that? Shanna?
What's our size? Do we have a size restriction on our temporary?
50 square feet?
Yes. Yep, 50 square feet maximum. That's the current number.
Square feet, so like 5 by 10?
Correct.
10 by 5.
Whichever, but...
Yeah.
Some math on that.
2.5.
We could do some math. We could get creative too and get decimals in there if you'd like.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. That's huge.
It is. It is a large sign. We have some of like the Home 2 Suite sign that's on the slide here. That's I want to say that was a 4x8 when that came in for a permit. So just to give you a size comparison of what the maximum is for allowing.
This would be private. I'm sorry.
Yes. Go ahead.
I mean, this would be like for businesses or individuals.
All of the above. Looking not necessarily to regulate content, especially trying to stay in line with state and federal law. Temporary signs across the board.
Because the other one that just comes to mind is I know they sometimes there's a craft show at Adrenaline, and there's the handmade ones that they just kind of put out, or people might put out a garage sale sign, or people might put out a grad party, or things like that. And that would all kind of encompass the temporary thing then?
Yes.
And those all need a permit?
That's one of the questions that we're looking at. So right now, they require permits. Most folks don't come and get permits.
For a grad party.
Right.
Yeah.
Or garage sale, or honestly, a lot of signs. I'll get to the slide that shows prohibited signs. So just to give an idea of some of the signs that are put out without permits, generally not in accordance with code. So you can't mount them on a utility pole. You can't put them in the right-of-way. Some of the signs are bigger than what's allowed. And then, that bottom middle where it's a snowbank, that's from Google Maps. So it's just giving an idea of some of the consequences of folks not getting permits, and then the signs just kind of fade into the background and help or contribute to a less positive image.
Yeah.
I think I guess kind of begs the question, how do political signs fall into that? You know, obviously during campaign season officially according to our code right now, would that even need to get a permit, if you're putting out political signs in yards and things? Or is that...
Great question. Political signs are regulated separately by state law. We're not proposing to change that. That's something that's under the purview of the Public Works Director during campaign season.
We get those little packets when we register with the legalese on that.
But that's just what I was wanting. So I wanted to make sure we weren't trying to put that.
Yeah, too.
And on that, as far as political signs go, if we receive a complaint, we go look at it. We're not. And if it's not in the right of way, we're not worried about it. Because I think size is exempt during a certain period and all that. So,
Kirsten?
What does enforcement look like now?
Excellent question. Currently, we are complaint based. So if there is a complaint about, and this is across the board for code enforcement, but specifically for signs, somebody has a complaint that temporary sign is in the right of way or obstructing a street, obstructing a site triangle, then we would go out and initiate the code enforcement process. We don't see very many, if hardly any, cases of receiving a complaint on a temporary sign. So that for a lot of these, they exist in perpetuity without a complaint, which means we're not enforcing, since that was the guidance previously.
Okay. Shannon, or Kirsten?
This is more of a statement than a question, but I will just say, I see a ton of them in my neighborhood. Mostly churches or new businesses that have recently come up in the core. I'm not saying that I have a problem with it personally, but there seems to be a lot of them. So,
Thanks for your questions and stuff.
Thank you.
No, I appreciate your help here. This is great.
So generally, and I can go back to the slide that I have the specific items within temp signs that we're looking for guidance on. But again, generally tonight we're looking for general feedback and guidance on a few of the things in the code. And again, I'm focusing on temporary signs, but if there's something else in the code that stands out to you that you have questions on tonight, I'm more than happy to answer them and adjust the draft code as needed before it's brought for introduction.
All right, let's...
Can we go back to the list of questions?
What's that?
Can we go back to the list of questions that he wanted us to... Yeah.
So, let's start with temporary signs. Requiring permits for duration and location.
One thing I can build upon for this really quick is one of the items brought up internally with code enforcement. If we do away with the requirement for permits, then it's a lot harder to enforce, especially like how long has it been in the spot, where is it, things like that. So that's one of the items that we're facing right now. With the permit requirement, if somebody is putting out a sign without getting that permit, it's hard for us to do the enforcement on duration and location. So that's why that's in there.
Okay. So I think we should start with maybe discussion about enforcement, because I think whether we enforce this or not will depend on what permits look like. If we're going to not enforce it, period, then that would change the permit duration, the permit request, all that, what we're asking permits for. So I guess, Kirsten, I said you had your hand up.
I was thinking we were talking about permit versus enforcement first, and we can go your route too, that makes sense, but just from my mind, I think that I would like to see us still require permits, knowing that if we wanted to enforce, we can, but also knowing that we're not right now, and it doesn't seem to be impacting our city a ton, but there's still an opportunity for complaints if there is causing issues, and they're in spaces they shouldn't be, and then, you know, the permit can look a certain way dependent upon what this person's asking for or what have you.
So I think we're saying the same thing from two different approaches. I just wanted to talk enforcement first, because then we can figure out, we need to know what our left and right parameters are. Like, are we going to be complaint-based? Are we going to be proactive? Is there going to be some sort of combination thereof? And then when people fail to meet that enforcement, then how are we gonna deal with that? Dan.
Thank you, Ryan. So I guess one question, if we were to not have, you know, permits, are there other mechanisms to enforce if it becomes obscene? Like the yards, you know, full of 600 signs that are all, you know, 30 feet long or, you know, large or something, and are there other mechanisms if it, you know, that if it becomes a nuisance or something that's not specific to signs?
Like,
I would defer generally to the city attorney.
Size. And you got to be a little worried when you're talking about obscene. You can't, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to be thinking about what's on the sign when you're regulating it. And the most annoying ones, it's always the temporary sign stuff. That's the stuff that bothers people, because it's the junk, you see. It's the little two metal stick things. Name it, and it's been advertised on it. You were talking about Google and all that kind of stuff. One way you can get around that, because people like that, is my guarantee, if they do on some occasions, you know, when they're blanketing a city, they'll come in and ask, but rarely. So that's where people will go out and buy, and they're unpermitted. You can regulate that essentially by prohibiting temporary signs below a certain size. That usually gets most of those.
Lowest
question certain. Whether you want to do that, but you know, because there are all kinds of things of value that they provide as well. Little signs like that can be directional, those kinds of things. But that takes care of the problem if you've got a big problem, usually.
Like if you were to leave the parking ramp right now, you could see that there are mattresses available.
So you're saying below a certain size, because that would keep people that want to do the dinky ones, and it would be more of an investment, therefore less people would.
You're targeting a type of sign, right, without targeting the content of that sign.
Sure.
Not that either one of us is anything against mattresses, but those tend to be the kinds of things where you'll get a wide variety of different things, and they tend to be a nuisance. Those are the ones that your public works department ends up with truckloads full at the end of a period of time. And the that's a problem when you try to apply that to political signs. So it needs to be done in a way so you don't end up touching that. But for the most part, those little signs, there are municipalities that just say you can't have those in the right of way or anywhere else. I don't know how effective that is. But that's short of, that's probably size is the other option that you have.
Yeah, more just curious. I definitely, I don't know if at this point of the discussion, but I lean more towards not having permits or, so you wouldn't need to necessarily enforce that because I think they're freedom of expression. But I know, I think it was prior to you coming, I don't know, obviously Chris was on then, where someone had a flag that had the F word and a certain political person or whatever, and they're like, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. And school buses would drive by, so we'd hear it a lot from parents, and but we can't enforce, like you said, the content of it. So.
And that's got to be more interesting, because what's happened now, it used to be that was just a very creative individual, and I've got pictures of that where these very creative individuals have all these very creative signs, and they're exercising their First Amendment rights. Now it's a fundraising tool. And the question that I just had to deal with was the issue of when does the political sign period end? When are you allowed to insist that people bring them in? And that's nationwide, those kinds of regulations. And now, of course, you get signs that are made by campaigns, clearly made by campaigns, stating all kinds of things, naming a candidate but not referencing an election, and you're kind of now in that gray area of what is, First Amendment protected speech and what is political signage. And that's going on, that's popping up all over the country because this has become something I never used to see were presidential elections, that had their own little lawn signs. That has become a national market. And how do you regulate that if it really gets junky?
All right, so we have signs in the right-of-way. The right-of-way is under the auspices of the city's control, correct?
Correct.
So I think, although I do agree with free speech, and I love free speech, and if somebody wants to put a sign in their yard that says whatever they want to say, I don't care about that. But I think we do have the tool here to make sure that our boulevards are clean and nice and tidy, and we don't have the stump grinder posters stapled to every telephone pole.
Bobcat guy,
whatever. So I guess the question is, if we're going back to the other route regarding, do we regulate, do we not regulate, do we ask for permits, or do we require permits, do we not? Understanding this is in city properties by right of way.
Okay.
Do we think we should be enforcing that proactively or reactively?
I know we're talking about, obviously it was city-owned property, like in a park or something, but so we're talking about even if it's someone else's property, but just in the right of way, the corners and things?
I think city right of way. So, like, if you have a house that's on the corner of, like, my neighborhood, so we have 47 and 169th, and right on the corner there's a pole, right? So it's kind of the neighbor's property a little bit because it's yard is adjacent to it, but there's a good 12 feet of ditch. People put stuff in there all the time. I don't know if it's the neighbor, I don't know if it's somebody else, but if it's the neighbor, I feel like he could move it back 4 feet into his property. If it's not the neighbor, I also think it's a nuisance to the person living on the corner of a busy road to have their yards filled with stump grinder, blowout sprinklers, things of that nature. So I don't want to regulate anybody's speech, but I also think if it's the boulevard is city under the city purview, I think we should be able to say, yeah, stapling 30 pitchers against the telephone pole looks bad, and we don't want that. Kirsten?
I second 100% what you said. That's what I was aligning with. Like, I don't care about free speech, like, being in your yard. Like, you do what you want to do in your yard, but, like, let's not make the city look like trash by putting crap everywhere. Like, that's 100% what you said. I agree.
When I was campaigning, I had people report my signs, and I had to show up and move them back 3 feet to be out of the right of way because people didn't like them. I worry about a slippery slope because on the same token, I don't mind when the church puts the sandwich board up before a service or a Boy Scout troop or or graduation party. So then that's what it comes down to it. Do we enforce proactively or retroactively? But I don't think taking away that ability to enforce it is a wise idea, whether we do or we don't.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where I'm leaning at.
Yeah. I appreciate the clarification, because for me, I was thinking of kind of an all or nothing of yards or certain areas. And then definitely step in, Todd, if we're not saying it right for the areas and stuff. But
so, Mayor, I could add, when Public Works is taking the trucks out to go pick up signs that we're complaining about, it's much more efficient if they, you know, go around versus just kind of one-off runs. So that's kind of what we're asking, is something proactive would be pretty helpful in operations and things.
Shanna.
So seeing that the city runs around, is that like a once-a-month thing, or is that a just because there's a complaint?
They get enough complaints.
So if we're talking enforcement, maybe that's something, can we dabble with, like, at the end of every 45 days, the city truck is allowed to nab up anything that's on city property? And
I think that would be nice, except for that's asking them to either catalog every sign they go through or remember every sign they go through. So I think if we say use your discretion, yes, but then that also leaves the city up to liability, where somebody's going to say, well, how do I know what's the procedure? What does the policy look like? So that's the hard part, I feel like, is navigating that.
Or are you saying more just like every month on the 15th or something?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like,
one day out, every sign comes down.
Yeah, every sign comes down, it gets cleaned up, you know, or whatever. Kind of like that 6 weeks, maybe every 6 weeks or whatever, because like the Parade of Homes, technically in their rule book, they're supposed to take down their sign within 24 hours of the end of the Parade of Homes. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Game Fair has some sort of thoughts against that also. And most churches, when they run their things, they put the sign out, and they typically put too much money into that because it's valuable to them, so they pick it up at the end of that event and bring it in. And then, of course, you're like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but did that any A-frames or temporary signs that don't get pushed into the ground, are they considered your into this category, or
they would be counted as temporary signs?
Sandwich board, right?
Yes.
So I don't think sandwich boards can handle the wind, so they're not supposed to be out there for more than a day or 6 hours, depending on the day.
They're supposed to be within 5 feet of the business, according to this, but they still put them on that.
But I'm talking about, like, open house signs or the Parade of Homes, like, those sandwich ones that come out during that time.
Yeah.
Like,
Mr. Mayor, just a note, kind of realistically speaking, those event-driven ones where it's, like, the open house, they're going to put the sign out, they're going to take it away, and it's all going to be on that same Saturday, and we're not out, so we're not going to know. It's these, the mattress sales, the sprinkler blowouts, where they put them out, and they forget about them. They're not collecting them.
Right.
It's, to them, it's just disposable signs.
Or even some garage sale signs I see out there for a long time. I mean, I think if we did that, it would have, like, a Tuesday or Wednesday, like, so you know it's not, you know, a weekend or an event.
The only problem with the Tuesday or Wednesday is Parade of Homes sign sale for how long?
They are typically a six week deal.
Yeah, so we have to, I guess I want to start by saying, should the city be able to say what goes in the boulevards or not? I say yes. Anybody else? Okay.
Not really. There's too many gray areas there.
But we have that, at least that the ability to manage that. But we have, okay. So if we can manage what's in the gray, what's in the medians, what's in the right of way, then the next question is, how do we enforce it?
So with the Parade of Home signs, they could have them up as long as they ask for a permit. So then we don't even have to worry about that conversation, right?
So currently, not in the right-of-way, and that's why I put number two in there. If we should try to create some sort of mechanism to accommodate those Parade of Homes signs, Game Fair directional signs, I think the VFW charges. Or we have that little overlay where folks can rent out their front yard for people to park. So trying to create something kind of in tandem with the special event permit that we have, trying to set something up to allow certain signs in the right-of-way with a specific duration. And so generally that's why I put number two in there to add to this.
Is the Parade of Homes manager, whoever's managing that area, I don't know how it works, did they go and usually request sign permits, or do they just stick them in the ground?
Generally, we don't hear anything from them. We just see
the
signs.
They just pop up. Okay. So, once again, for Dan and Jana, I don't want to say limit free speech, but I think the counter to that is anybody can put anything into any part of the boulevard saying anything they want for any reason, and the city can't regulate it. I don't think I want to say that. So I am falling on the side that we should have some say what happens in the city boulevards. Okay. So then the next question going in is how do we enforce that? Do we give directions saying real estate, charities, birthday parties, graduation, do we make a list and say these are things that can go in, or do we say everything needs a permit? Because if we say everything needs a permit, we have to be realistic, that's not going to happen too, so then it goes into enforcement. Kirsten, Chris, I feel like you might have something to say. Do you want to have something to say after Kirsten?
Sure.
Okay.
My question was, I can't recall, now I'm questioning myself, what's permittable currently? Or there's not permits currently? There's currently permits, right? What's permittable currently?
Generally, it's the best way to show is this slide shows the general types of temporary signs that are permitted in the core. This is a slide that shows some of the allowed temporary signs outside of the core. One key thing I will note, currently sandwich boards are not allowed outside of the core, and that's one of the things we trying to figure out how to address with temp signs. One other point with the creating a list of what types of signs should or should not be allowed, that gets into the speech category.
Yeah.
Mayor, just to add, but nothing is currently allowed in the
right-of-way.
That's
what I was going to say.
Correct. That's correct. And nothing is allowed in the right-of-way.
So I don't think there's a type of sign that you can just put up without a permit. So technically that means everything that's up should have a permit, knowing that most of them do not.
And be located on private property.
Yes. Okay. Chris, I feel like you have some, well, I don't know. You may have some good insight here.
Well, and I think your point was great that you're talking about in the right-of-ways. That I think kind of frames what we're talking about, and I totally agree. And I think requiring the permits gives the city the ability to enforce bad things, but we can, not worry about the things that aren't problems. So I kind of like maybe what we're doing now, because it at least gives us some leeway,
a little flexibility. Shanna, did you have something?
I'm just curious how this is going to work for, your game fair, the Happy Days. We put up signage for those items, and now we're going to say nope, everything needs a permit, and it just needs a permit. Everything needs a permit, and the sandwich signs that doesn't make any sense because they fall over in the wind.
Currently, everything does need a permit, though.
Right, and I don't understand why a business that's outside the core needs to get a permit, like the Izzy's ice cream shop over there that just became a new. That's not technically in the core, so they're technically not allowed a pop-up A-frame outside their place, if I'm understanding this. How is this helping our businesses create traffic if only the core is allowed to do that? So if State Farm's allowed to throw up a temporary sign, but Izzy's is not.
That's one thing that we're looking to address with this. We're trying to figure out what types of signs should be allowed in the city as temporary signs. Do we need permits for those types of signs? Should we allow them in the right-of-way? Things like that.
Well, I think stepping back a bit with kind of the whole purpose, we have two different sets of sign regulations. One of them allows it, the other doesn't. So it's kind of marrying them together so that there is consistency amongst two documents. So Izzy's can't have it, but if Izzy's located across the street, they could, currently. But what's being proposed is that they could, because we could do it in court.
We're proposing to allow them outside of the court.
Nothing is really getting any more restrictive. Just that in the case of the temporary signs, the EDA a year and a half ago, and then the Planning Commission worked on some temporary provisions for the Highway 10 construction. And it started off as just being businesses in the corridor, and then maybe a little bit outside of that. And then it turned into just everyone, any business in the city, expiring at the end of this year with essentially unlimited renewals of their permit at no charge. The problem is there's probably only five of those temporary banners anywhere in the city right now actually has a permit. But we've taken a hands-off, we're not touching them during this duration approach. So any sort of enforcement from a temporary banner on private property, we're not going to touch till next year. It's really what's these things that are showing up in the ditches on the telephone poles that might or might not actually be a Ramsey business.
So a little compass check here in case we got off course. Open it up for discussion. Maybe our discussion led us off course here. What questions do you guys want answered by the count? What direction are you looking for? So we can wrap, succinct this back at this.
Thank you, Mayor. Generally, it's the three questions that I've got on the board, or on the screen here.
But through your lens, you're saying, so like the first question, requiring permits for duration and location, we're currently doing that, right?
Correct.
So the question is, should we continue to do that, or should we get rid of that? Is that the question?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So, should we continue requiring permits for duration and location? Shannon?
Depending on the size and what type. I'm fine, like, all those other ones, however, like, Lennar has a big, huge sign out in front of their yard. That's not in the right-of-way, according to one of your pictures. That's in their yard. And you're saying that needs a permit, right?
Correct.
I don't know if they have a permit or not. I'm just saying it's technically their yard. Why are we permitting their yard? It's not a business. It's a yard.
Generally, great question. For that Lennar sign that I have in there, it's bigger than what we allow and did not obtain a permit as needed. Currently, all temporary signs, all permanent signs need a permit. That's just to make sure that it's in alignment with our code requirements. And so it also helps us with the location, making sure that it's not in the right of way, making sure that it's not too big for what's allowed, things of that nature.
So I think when it comes to the right of way, we have consensus that requiring permits, duration, and location is needed. When it comes to personal property, I understand where that's also coming from, too. We don't want to require that. Or we may not want to require that. The only caveat is if we have no sort of stipulation on it, then there's no regulating it, and then technically somebody could put a valley high move-in billboard in their front yard 5 feet off from, however many feet be a setback in their property, and they could spray paint and bad word on it, and we couldn't regulate it if it was on private property if we say don't regulate private property signage at all. Am I missing out on this?
Generally, you'd be correct if we weren't regulating private signs at all or signs on private property at all. And with most of this code, we're looking to still regulate permanent signage. The general question for this is temporary signage. So if somebody was looking to put a temporary sign with that message that you're referencing, if we didn't have a permit requirement, we may not be able to regulate.
Okay, Shannon.
So for residential, can we put in a size cap and then start asking for permits?
Be above a certain size?
Yep, if it's above a 4x6 sign, that they're going to dig into it. I mean, 4x6 is generally smaller than a 5x10, right, Mr. Peters? Okay, thanks. If we could just have a cap maybe somewhere in there, and then that way we know we're not getting a 5x10 huge billboard. It's a 4x6, which is a typical political sign, right, size. If we're 4x8, then make that the size. And then that way we can let them do whatever they want in their yard. We don't have to worry about that one.
If we give you direction, you take it, you run with it, we establish it, and something happens, what's the process going back and revoting as a council?
If we were to vote and adopt this ordinance with the current language, we would have to go back through and just adopt another ordinance.
The two readings and the public hearing and everything like that. Okay, then for this... Oh, Dan.
Quick question. I mean, just with any of our code, they could apply for a variance or no? If they have some kind of a good reason that they... I don't know what the reason would be. Like, a really good reason. They all agree for a 10x10-foot sign on their private property.
Oh, they apply for a permit. It gets denied. They could apply for a variance.
Could they still escalate it or ask for a variance in that kind of scenario?
We actually have an appeal process that they would have to go through, but typically size of signs don't meet the hardships for variances.
Right, is this that listed?
Okay, so I'll throw something out, just to see if we can get past this next point. Personal property. Signs smaller than 2x4 do not need a permit. Anything larger than that needs a permit. And if somebody lines their yard up with terrible signs that are 2x4 and we don't like it, we'll have to wait a month to pass a new ordinance to regulate it. But nothing's... I don't know.
It's a nice experiment.
I don't want to regulate people's... I don't want somebody to put up a little cross in their front yard and somebody to come by or a whatever symbol and somebody to come by and say take it down. So I do want to protect that. But I also just... saying nothing is off limits if it's on your yard, I feel like that's our code as well.
Cross wouldn't be a sign.
Correct.
Well, if you put it on a white background.
Yeah. So to explain for that too, there's a current exemption for sign regulations for holiday decorations. I would say that falls within that category.
Mr. Attorney.
We
are in the weeds.
And I just, before I... any further. I want to say this. I do some teaching outside from here. One of the areas I like to teach in and have taught in lately has been on First Amendment sign stuff for cities. Just did a presentation a couple months ago to the Montana Municipal Lawyers Association on this very topic. And it was very interesting. And the reason I'm telling you that is I was pretty excited about this. Adam has done a very nice job. In case you're wondering, I know it's kind of hard to compare and you haven't been seeing, but I see these. And this is probably about as well put together a sign ordinance. There are these issues that you need to talk about for sure, but as I've seen, it really is pretty. So nice job, by the way, before they pick you apart. That being said, I think, what was your question again? I was trying to get good job. I'm getting out of here. Go ahead.
No, it was, you put a cross on a 2x4 political poster backing and stick it in your yard. Is that a temporary sign?
It has been interpreted to be that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to get down that.
And flags also, you know, that while you get into all the free speech stuff. And in case you're wondering whether this matters, there's something called the Reed case that went all the way to the United States Supreme Court. On the issue of what could be on one of those temporary signs, there was a Presbyterian minister named Reed, and they were just, you know, pointing people in the direction of the school where they were having their services as they were building their church. And because it had been regulated a certain way by the city, went all the way up, and it was what they had done because it was regulating the content, was unconstitutional. My job is to make very sure that does not happen to you. And And one other thing, and I'll just say in passing, because this is where the temporary stuff is where it really gets sticky and difficult in a lot of ways. Most dangerous, from my point of view, though, are these electronic signs, the bigger signs. There is just so much money, and it's out there, no one thinks about it, but there's so much money involved in these signs, especially on the freeways and on the highways, and you're starting to see that here, that people will spend a lot of money to fund a Presbyterian minister all the way to the Supreme Court to try to get things to be defined. And I'll give you one example of that, because that's one way I learned it, is that a city that I represented at the time very shrewdly worked it so that there was only one location by the freeway where a sign would be permitted. That, through a little bit of discussion, ended up being owned by the city. And shrewd advice they were getting, if I do say so myself. But in any event, the piece of land itself wasn't any bigger than this room. And they are receiving today $100,000 a year from the sign company as rent to be able to put a sign up there. And the reason I bring that out as an example, and you can try to find one if you can, but is to give you an idea of what's out there money-wise, and they're not at all shy about bringing the great eminences from downtown Minneapolis to come out and scream at you and sue you if you don't do it exactly right. And there's been about three major United States Supreme Court cases just within the last two or three years on municipal regulations of signs. And so I saw this, when I heard from Adam, and we're going to redo the sign code, I'm thinking, oh, God. And this is about as good as it gets. It really is. I'm very pleased, and I need to, as you work through this, because, again, issues on temporary signs, what you want to do, what you don't want to do, those are all important issues that you do get to decide. But it's nice to have a good framework like this. So you've got that. Most cities that I've dealt with deal with the right-of-way problem by having a directive in Public Works, which is if you see anything on a right-of-way, put it in the back of the truck. And it's true. I know down in Ramsey County, they do the same thing on the county rights-of-way there. There's a whole room. It's nothing but, it's not just, it's real estate signs, for sale signs, all kinds of signs that qualify and require a permit. And the only way you keep the rights of way clear and clean is you pick them up every time you see them. And people know the game. I mean, you get these folks that go out with dozens of these things and they plant them all over your city. They know that the city is very likely in the next week or so going to just pull them all up. And so that they'll go out and do it again. I mean, it's part of what they do. But getting around to, I think, the point you were making is, no harm, no foul right now. What's the problem if we let everybody do it? Usually what precipitates tougher regulations is clutter. And at some point, inevitably, that's the problem with signs that always seems to come up. Clutter. Commercial signs, ugly. If they're one after another, one after another, one after another. And the same thing is true with these little signs that you see. You reach a certain point where you get a few thousand of them around your city. What can we do about it kind of thing. What most cities do is they put it in the back of a dump truck. Sorry, but I had to say something nice about it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Kirsten.
Did you have an opinion on the personal signs on personal property, on how we manage that, whether we give a size cap or we say just permit it, no matter what?
Unless you end up with a problem, where you've got a neighborhood where somebody says, that guy, one of his supporters or her supporters puts up a bigger sign, you end up with a sign war. And I've seen those. There was a wonderful case, from my point of view, these old pictures, in Montana, where that was exactly what happened. People on opposite sides of the highway And everybody kept building up bigger and bigger signs, and it all got to be about the First Amendment. And you know what it is? Hopefully you don't have to deal with that specific problem. Because usually it's one or two people. And it's not really an issue. And I would suggest you leave it that way. The less you have actually trying to regulate the content of what's going on in these signs within your city, the less likely you are to get in trouble.
On personal property?
Personal property.
Okay.
Yeah, but no. Not just content size.
I would say, no, that's not entirely true, because I think you can regulate billboards and other things. Again, you've got time, place, and manner of all speech is what you can regulate. Those are the buzzwords, time, place, and manner. And you can regulate overly large, ugly signs. Aesthetics matter. Not content, but aesthetics in terms of the size of these things. I just find it unlikely, unless somebody puts a 50-foot flagpole in their front yard, does a Perkins flag or something like that, I doubt you're going to get into that kind of issue.
So then the size that Ryan had suggested, is that okay to you and your mind?
Sure. I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, too, if it's one that's attached to a fence, is that the same type of thing?
Sign's a sign.
I just mean like personal property.
If it's attached to a fence, it shouldn't be in the right of way, because your fence hopefully is on the
right. But it's a personal property, right? So that would still apply to your
thoughts? Yeah. We can do a 4x8, we can do a 2x4. I just think let's just do a size cap at some reasonable size. Say anything under that doesn't need a permit. Everything over that does. That'll keep the sign wars from happening. And then people can still express themselves how they want. Just they can't do it on a 400 square foot sign.
Yeah, I guess for me, where I'd land on it would be, you know, the I understand the right-of-way is, so we do some kind of regulation on that, but I would still be leaning to do anything on the personal property. But.
Adam and then Kirsten.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to confirm, so the dimensions, you're looking at 8 square feet or less?
Well, we have it set.
Yeah.
Or, because I know the other number from Councilmember Stewart was 32 square feet, so just want clarification
sure.
for that.
We may come up with a number if we agree that it's something we should be doing. So we'll have something pretty short.
Sure.
I'm giving the thumbs up to what you said, just trying to move this along. So if maybe we could do it.
Chris?
If we're going to talk about a size, I would say the 2 foot by 4 foot. So, that, because that's that.
That's this by this.
Yeah, it's like your.
This is how big that is. So I would love to see the 4x8 or whatever that's where number is, because that would be relatively appropriate, especially for your home builders and your Parade of Homes, because the Parade of Homes signs are about that big that they just throw up for those 6 weeks in their
sure.
yard. So that's what I'm looking at, is like those marketing pieces for those new neighborhoods, and we have a lot of new neighborhoods, so asking for a permit for a temporary, this is capstone or whatever.
Okay, I will amend what I'm saying. 4x8, private property. Anything bigger than that needs a permit. Anything under that does not need a permit. Though they want it bigger, they can still go get a permit.
Yep.
But Dan.
So what determines whether or not they would be given the permit?
Because
we can't regulate the content. Like, how would you decide then as a staff, is this permittable or not if they get a permit?
The same section of the required submittals in the code for permanent signs, we would apply those same rules. We're just looking for how big is the sign going to be, where are you going to put it, how long is it going to be out, and the number of signs if there are multiple.
All right. Okay. Personal property, anything property, anything bigger than 4x8, you need to get a permit. Anything else? Freedom is freedom to do what you want.
I'm good with that.
We did that one. Creating a separate right-of-way permit for temporary signs, I don't think... Oh, we do need to address that still, right?
Generally, if
yep.
that's the commission's desire.
Okay. So we do probably... So we want... We're creating a separate right-of-way permit.
Mr. Mayor,
do we need a separate right-of-way permit if we already require just a right-of-way permit?
You mean for a sign?
I guess I'm having a problem delineating between a separate right-of-way permit compared to just a regular permit. Like, either way, you need a permit, right? So what's the purpose of saying a separate permit?
Well, you're authorizing them to be on your right-of-way. Otherwise, they're not allowed on your right-of-way, which is actually a separate. It has nothing to do with the sign. You're authorizing somebody to use your right-of-way for a purpose.
Mr. Mayor, the thought of this was there are a bunch of things that have special event permits.
Mm-hmm.
Do we just wrap in something with that to cover most of these situations of, are you planning on putting signs up around town? If so, where? And that's part of the whole special event package.
So merging those two together would be just fine for city staff? Or would you prefer them separate?
It's whatever the commission or council decides.
Kirsten?
Just piggybacking off your question, currently the permitting isn't necessarily for right-of-ways, it's just for signage, correct? And that's what this is, the delineation, is now we're also asking if people can put things in the right-of-way, typically just for events. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Generally, yes. Okay. Right now, signs are not allowed in the right-of-way, but folks will put signs in the right-of-way, like for Parade of Homes. And so we're looking if there should be a mechanism to permit those signs in the right-of-way.
Right.
Fritz, can we say yes to game fair, special events, and Parade of Homes, but no to sprinkler blowouts?
No. That's one case, the Reed case, that's basically what that said. And so the trick is to, frankly, what cities do is they just look the other way. Now, I hate to say it, but
so it's an all or nothing question.
It's an all or nothing kind of question.
And we can't tie it to the special events permit.
Well, special events, all of a sudden you're talking about what's on the sign.
President's Day sale, blowout, special event.
Mattress.
Yeah.
Dan, I'm curious.
I guess to me, a concern me, I'm just thinking of scenarios, you know, someone wants to have a garage sale, they want to put some signs out, the neighbor doesn't like them anyways, neighbor complains, they put signs out. I mean, it just gets crazy back and forth. So it is a balance of...
They should be better neighbors, and that neighbor should say, yes, give me $50 and I'll let you put your sign in my yard.
So, but I mean, that's my concern. I think, you know, we're probably going to have them either way. I think, you know, we're not going to do much good regulating all of them because we're going to get rid of the good ones for the bad, you know.
I still like that idea that we're just trashing them. Like, if we're going to just go ahead and say temporary signs, like, unfortunately for the Parade of Homes, unfortunately for the game fair, unfortunately for the church across the street or the garage sale, if we're going to say no, or we need, like, just trashing them, I don't think we should collect them. I think they should just go straight to the, if we're going to go down that route. And then maybe the city decides, you know, during Parade of Homes, we're not going to let the trucks out, or, you know, like, scheduling-wise around a few of our special events. Is that a... way out of the world possibility?
Yeah, it is. I mean, typically we won't go out and hit up signs. We know summer's garage sale season. We're not waiting out there on Wednesdays or Thursdays to pull out everybody's garage sale signs. But if it's a garage sale sign that's never picked up and it's sitting there for weeks and weeks, yeah, we'll go pick it up. But
we
don't police
them all equally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. We should enforce them all equally.
Yes.
And then Chris.
Yeah, discretion, I guess, right? I was thinking if there was some sort of fashion in which, like, city collaborative events have some sort of non-permit special friendship. Because then it's not a permit, so you're not saying no to anyone else. But there is some sort of mutual benefit of the cities to have this event. You hate me, it's fine. Tell me what you hate about me. Go ahead.
No. It's just that, you know, that's exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to do in government, really. I mean, you know, sure, go ahead. I know you. We know you're good people, you know, and all that sort of stuff. You go ahead and put the sign up. Can't do that, or at least you're not supposed to. Or if you do that, don't tell a lawyer, you know. But the bottom line here is it has to be consistently enforced. And I, you know, game fair, all the rest of it, you know, I totally get that. So what's really going to happen? Well, I suspect Bruce will probably say to the folks, well, if there's a few of those up, we're going to wait until we see more of them. So it's not a waste of our time to send out a crew and a truck and all. We're going to wait and see. There are all kinds of ways that these things get, much as I hate to say it, that the rules get bent, but that's what happens.
Chris? Well, and I mean, if we do pick them up, if Public Works picks them up, I mean, I assume they just really just confiscate them and take them back to the Public Works facility. They don't go in the garbage.
Yeah, we're not tossing them in the garbage right away.
All right, we got two more cases after this.
And those are filler. We'd rather...
Fairly quickly, but just want to put the time back on everybody's radar here. So the question is, from what I'm hearing, Prince's, we can't really create a separate right-of-way permit? Or we shouldn't? That'd be bad form.
For signs?
Yeah.
Actually, you can. If it's your property, very specific. So I'm sorry if I wasn't clear about that. You can do that separately if you choose to do so. That's the same authority that you have to just simply prohibit them. You've got the authority to do whatever you want to do in this area.
But it has to apply to all sites.
It has to apply
to
everything.
So game fair all the way down to sprinkler pool.
So essentially, if we allow one person, approve one person's sign, it sets a precedence that we pretty much have to allow every sign after that.
You know, and the thing about that is, you know, who's going to complain, right? So you do that, who's going to complain? And it always comes back to me to that nice Presbyterian minister, I think it was in Utah, you know, and he complained because he was being treated differently and you ended up being in trouble. You really have to apply it uniformly.
Kirsten?
What if we say make a permit, let anyone do it, but work under the assumption that game fair, parade of homes, and folks, those will be the folks that typically permit or ask for a permit, and the ones that don't typically ask for a permit won't, and we can throw them away anyways.
I just thought of something. If we allow for a permit, we have to let it all go through, but we can set parameters to that permit, like it can only be up for 60 days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Correct. So let's just do that. Let's just put a time frame on it, and then if somebody puts up a sign and it's there for more than 60 days, we can pull it down. And if they ask for, if Parade of Homes asks for puts it up, or it gets the permit, they can put them up. 60 days later, they'll take them down. 60 days, good repair. That way there's no junk signs, and if they're junk and they're there for too long, we throw them away. That would handle it.
How long did you say Parade of Homes was? 6 weeks?
6 weeks.
And a day?
Sure.
So 60 days, good repair.
Twice a year. I would say 36 days or 40 days, something like that, to encompass Parade of Homes versus most of summer.
46 days? What do you say?
So it's be 36. Right? 6 and 7 is 35. Well, no.
That's the mathematician. 42. I need a calculator.
Yeah, that's the same, 45. 45 days?
That's Chris is just sitting here laughing.
I was going to let you get there.
45 days. Request a permit, 45 days. Sign has to be in good order. We'll allow it.
Okay.
And we'll probably want to know how many times a year.
Michael. Didn't see you there. Go ahead.
Sorry about my late arrival. It's been quite a trip here. Could we say a certain amount of time prior to whatever the event is, and then not to exceed 5 days beyond the event or something?
I think that's...
That should encompass the whole
time. I mean, that sounds like where you're going, but I think if you define it by number of days prior to an event for people who need the advertising, like Parade of Homes, but then if 60 days ended before the end of your event, then that would be cutting them off before they're done.
That's a good idea.
When to Parade of Homes.
If you define it by a certain amount of time prior to an event, it's okay, and then it can't be there past the event or then a week or whatever.
Yeah, Brian's wondering, like, Parade of Homes is going to want it up a week ahead of the showing.
Yeah, what's typical?
They don't usually get their signs that early.
Pretty much when the parade starts.
Yeah, they get it about 3 or 4 days before it starts, because it's such a big event throughout the whole state of Minnesota. It's just not, you just don't get them.
So 45 would cover kind of a couple
I
days before.
I think 45 would probably be just fine.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
It's the idea of having a time frame for these things is very much in the safe zone. The minute you start defining where that goes by saying what it's for has to do with the content.
We wouldn't say what it's for. We're just using Parade of Homes as the event that's most common that we'd want to make sure we're not restricting it too far.
As long as there isn't a, okay.
Yep.
We're not going to regulate content.
What we what we could do if 45 days is the consensus is we could go the education route with our residents, business owners. That's the same route that Planning Commission is encouraging us to do for electronic signs. Get educate them, it's a 45-day duration, and have them take notice of planning around that. When should we put this out, and when should we pick it up to time it around the event instead of us dictating when they can and can't put it out. Just giving them the duration, letting them do what they want with that duration.
Yes.
One question I have for council on this, and I've had to deal with this in other cities that I worked with, the temporary sign permits. If we do it that way with a certain amount of days, one thing we need to consider is how many times a year they can do it as well, apply for these permits. Because I've seen it where they apply
every 45 days.
Yep, for a new permit. So how much of that do we want to? And do the 45 days have to be consecutive? Is it 45 days consecutive, or can they apply it for 5 days and then take it out and put it back in at a few weeks for a few more days? So those are two things that you might want to consider that have been issues in the past.
Consecutive twice a year?
I like
yes.
that.
Yes.
So they can do whatever they want for...
And Michael, I like what you're saying about the time that... The time, I just think that if we say, let us know when you're putting it in, let us know when you're taking it out, there's too much variability. Somebody could request 9 months, somebody could request 2 weeks, and then we're kind of regulating, we're using judgment for duration. So I think if we just do 45 days, they'll cover the game fair, 45 days, we'll cover the Parade of Homes. Not that we're endorsing either of those events, but knowing that those are commons, temporary sign usages, everything else should fall between in there. Even there, Brian.
I've got a couple questions.
Yeah.
But number one, church service signs, I think, would fall under this right of way, very common.
Don't regulate those.
Is there an ability to do, have you seen, or you've seen where it's an unlimited number of applications if it's 2 days? And then if it's the 45 day, you get two a year? I like to go.
We could say not to, we could say non consecutive. If somebody wants to go pull a sign over and pull it in and out.
It's way too complicated and two-step.
Yeah, because that's the thing, it's going to take a lot of staff.
If the church puts their sign out Sunday morning and then takes it down Sunday afternoon, we're not going to know, we're not going to care. Okay. It's where it's out all the time, and no matter what it is.
Once again, this is a mechanism that we can use.
Yeah.
Does it? And not saying that we're not going to use it, just saying it's a mechanism we can use. You don't need to go the other route. It's just a mechanism we can use.
Good point on that. The second question I had, Adam, would we want to incorporate in a size restriction to right-of-way signs or allow up to 50 feet? Because right now, we would just say, in the right-of-way, you're still meeting all the temporary sign size requirements, I would assume, but you need a full permit. Is that fair, or would we create a whole new section on signs within the right-of-way?
Well, the other wrench to put in there is we can only regulate our right-of-way, not the county or the states. Yeah. So.
Oh.
And they don't allow anything either.
Anything at all.
They don't allow anything. So.
Yeah.
So within our right-of-way, do we want to allow a 50-square-foot sign? And we'd need to put in site triangle language and everything like that, too. But
there are a lot of steps that would need to be taken if we were to allow
permitted use.
What's the typical ones of the small?
4 by 18 by 24. This seems to be the general order about half.
We're talking the smaller ones that people put in the right of way.
So 18 by 24.
Yeah. That's typically what you see in the right of way.
Kirsten.
How much are permits?
$25.
Per sign?
Per sign.
There goes the whole garage sale budget for the
I feel like this is going to be more than in today's conversation. But I don't know.
I think as staff, I'll kind of speak on our behalf. We understand where you're going from, but truthfully, the easiest way is just to not allow them. Some areas where maintaining the right-of-way, mowing them, things of that nature, and if there's a bunch of signs there, I mean, that impacts our efficiency in mowing, et cetera. So it is easier just to say no. And if they want to put up their sprinkler blowout sign or even the church service, I mean, go talk nicely to that person, tell them a couple bucks. And
so very robust discussion so far, right? The current status quo is they're not allowed?
Not allowed in the right of way.
So has anybody got huge complaints about the city coming and taking signs? And this has been... So should we just say continue status quo and just count this discussion as a fun exercise? And
I would disagree, but I'm not going to be so.
If you give us a half an hour back.
I respond that it was well vetted.
I mean, the discussion is, yes. Dan, I understand. I would also, I also have the same fears that you do. However, there's just so many cans of worms. If we permit, now we're going to... We permit a sign, it's an obstruction, somebody gets hit by a car, they allowed it. We were liable because we told them they could put a sign on the corner. So, for the five of us, I don't want to forget Michael. Status quo. Not that that's a fun government term to use, but...
Just as it refers to lot number two, though, right? Like, we're not going backwards on the other one, right?
I think we status quo would be just everything.
What's the status quo for the personal property?
No, I'm
sorry. Oh, just on the
status
right away.
Status quo for right away.
Right away.
Right away.
Status quo.
Just on number two.
Just
status
on number
quo.
Number two. Yeah.
Okay. We got a couple minutes left. Changing how to enforce code, proactive, reactive combination. Currently, we're reactive via complaint based only.
Correct.
Status quo there, or do we want to be proactive?
What are we saying about proactive?
Proactive would be the city
basis,
could just.
Or?
Proactive would be the city doesn't like it, they see it, they just pull it.
I would think proactive would be more of an education thing, like put in the Ramsey resident newsletter.
I think it's referring to enforcement, though.
Okay, yeah.
Proactive
yeah.
enforcement is if they see it, they pull it. Retroactive is
yeah.
I see it, I hate it, but nobody's made a complaint so far, so I can't touch it.
Well.
And currently we're retroactive?
Reactive.
Reactive.
Retroactive.
We talked about once a month pullage, right? And we kind of agreed to that. Is that something that we can stick to? For city staff, for convenience, and is that what you said, Todd?
But 30 days would be the whole event, game fair.
How about every other
week? So he gets a lot and just forwards him over to Marsha.
Okay. My only problem is if we say proactive, but every 60 days, doesn't that open us up for we didn't enforce it for their 60 days? Right?
Okay.
So, I mean, this is the problem with this whole thing, is that you're like damned if you do anything, if you don't. You put a limitation on it, you get yelled at for not following it. You don't put a limitation on it, you're not taking care of the signs. It's just like...
Man.
I kind of thought that was sad. If we're going to do it, I think it should be, just to be doing it like any other code enforcement.
Reactive?
Based I don't think we should be doing in the first place, but yeah.
Reactive?
Yes.
Reactive has been what we've been doing. I feel like, as of right now, we're okay.
Okay.
If the core looks like a mess because there's so many signs, somebody can go and say, there's the 15 signs I hate, and then it can get enforced. So.
So
reactive.
Stay with reactive.
Get 2, 3.
That's fine. I mean, mandated. Yeah.
Michael, reactive? Okay. We did it. That's all three questions asked.
So how about that case where the guy projected, you know, the big
the
sign
water tower.
On the water tower? Should we do that?
And you were supposed to stay quiet about that. It's a whole other can of worms.
You've got barns. Barns are real fun for science.
One final question, just for the group. I know we've been temporary science to death.
Yes.
Are there any other topics, questions, concerns with any other part of the code?
Did we cover that all the A-frames that they can be out, no matter if they're in the core's business or if they're in the business over wherever?
We would have the same temporary sign rules citywide.
So we would...
Izzy's can have an A-frame.
Yes.
Mrs.
Without having a permit.
But not
the right
way.
If it's under 32 square feet, the consensus that I receive is if the A-frame is under 32 square feet, generally they are, it would be allowed on private property without a permit.
So like on the sidewalk, just like everybody else.
Sidewalk's not private property, though.
Well, it's property of
the
business, private property. It's not the city's property. It's the point.
For that business, if they're putting it the sidewalk right outside their door, that's fine.
Okay.
It's also not there.
Making sure we're doing that. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready to see this in an ordinance format at the next meeting?
Yeah, I think I'm more confused than I was, I swear.
Okay.
Stop. All right, anything else?
That's it.
If not, real quick, let's see if we can do newsletter articles.
I will take that one. So it was recommended by Councilmember Bushers and Riley to bring this forward. Quite simply, the idea was, hey, newsletter articles be written by council members. In order to build it into our newsletters and still allow all the other content that we create, we talking with Pat, who puts together our newsletter. You know, we've got six city council members and plus the mayor. Perfect math. You know, we thought that we could incorporate one article from one council member each edition. I did put in there, you know, topics, you know, from staff's perspective should be generally neutral, positive in nature, things of that nature. So don't know that we need to create a whole policy on it, but looking for early thoughts on it. Big thing would be, if we're going to do this, please commit to it, so that way we're not scrambling at the 11th hour trying to fill that space, and we can plan accordingly. Newsletters come out January, March, every other month, etc. The deadline is 1 month prior, so.
Who wants to write an article for the newsletter?
Can't buy one, we'll sign
three.
It.
Four.
Is she does
five.
For you, Brian? Is it?
No. She does not. Oh. Well, I passed mine off to the mayor. but no, I wrote my own articles.
I also wrote my own article. So I think everybody wants to write an article. Okay. Okay. Oh.
Just super quick on that, too. I also thought if, you know, maybe there's a month that someone doesn't want to do it, we could jointly say maybe there's a topic we're all interested in, people just learning more about in the city too. So if you wanted to pass your own off after like a rotation or whatever.
Okay. How about anybody who doesn't meet their deadline gets filled in with something else?
We'll do it, but if you're not going to do it, let us know much in advance as possible.
Jim?
Yeah, how much in advance are we knowing when it's our turn?
Oh, well, asking the next question is, do we care what order? Should we start with Ward 1 up to senior at large? Or do we want to start?
Does anybody care
which
what
order
month they land?
I'll do mine right before the election. Is
that that's cheating.
Do we care in order?
A random assignment.
Yeah.
Can you just do
it? Based on who you like best.
We can put
random sounds good.
Draw.
All right, random months.
Yeah. Just text me.
So
just
give me more than three.
So
days.
Our staff will do random assignments, and then you'll let us know who's on what month coming up, so everybody can plan next months and months.
Then should we
alphabetical by middle name?
Yeah,
Alan or what?
So should we, once we have the names attached to what month it is, do we want to mark our territory on what topic we want to talk about so we're not doubling down on topics?
I don't think that's... I would say just as long as it's generally constructive, just whatever you feel like is important.
If you're first and you get to it, sucks to suck, right?
Yeah, so...
Whoever ends up first will be due in June 1st. Will be the next one.
All right. And then coffee with the council member, third item.
Another requested discussion to do it. Again, generally speaking, it just creates an opportunity to advertise to the public a dedicated time frame to meet with elected officials. Obviously, we have open meeting laws that wouldn't necessarily want a quorum there, but if there is, we can advertise it if we need to. Could do coffee in the morning, something more early evening. Thoughts?
Have you stopped doing the police one? I haven't heard that in a while.
They're still doing it.
Not doing this doesn't mean you can't do it yourself. Right. But this is, should the city coordinate this event with residents?
Yeah,
Dan says yes. Who, yes. You say no. Yes. Yes. Michael. Okay. So the answer is yes. And then, do we want to give the city a heads up that there's going to be more than three people there, or should we just amongst ourselves try to just
police ourselves?
Police ourselves, Kirsten.
I think Chris and I had talked about it being something where it was maybe just two of us and then a city staff member, and rotating morning and evening, so then people have the opportunity to get there and it not being like consistent, like super constantly, maybe quarterly. So then you only have to take one shift, you know, potentially. It's not taking a ton of time out, and then people have the opportunity, whether they work or not, or what their shifts are for work, to get there. And it wouldn't really cost anything, because obviously coffee's probably already brewed somewhere in the city. But
is hosted here, or
like Coburn's do it
at a retailer?
Well, yeah, that was part of what I wanted to discuss, is do we want to make it an out in the community thing, but then that adds a cost, or here it's a little easier to control and it's, I'll say, free or close to free, or the idea of doing it in the morning someplace and in the evening someplace, that maybe every time we make one of those, City Hall, and then out and about. I guess those were some of the things that, kind of our brainstorming came up with, kind of some questions.
I guess I would say maybe the best way to do it is do it quarterly, have a sign-up sheet, you sign up, you go, you just can't hog the same spots. So you three get it, and then the next month comes in, and all of us put our names in, prioritize the people who didn't do it the previous month. Keep it to three. And that way, we don't have a quorum. It's not overly complicated. Chris?
And we were thinking a department head.
Sure.
Also. So, like, same idea, rotate through, or, just however that kind of works out. And then, do we like the idea of morning and evening, or something like morning and evening, and something like one of them at City Hall and one of them somewhere else?
I don't care.
I think you could have what the police used to do. I mean, you go to, the different pavilions, the different parks and things.
I think we could do parks easy enough. Uh-huh. Do we want to do a morning and an evening on the same day, or one quarter is morning, the next quarter is an evening?
The thing I don't want to do is for us to do every quarter, uh-huh, two shifts, and then we're all busy, and then they advertise it, and none of us show up.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we can all do the morning, but none of us can do the night. So if we're going to do this, I just want to make sure that people are going to show up. Because I don't want to instruct the staff to advertise it, have a department head go to it, and then we find actually once a quarter is quite a bit, and I go every quarter and I'm going twice. So, got a couple minutes left. Any other final thoughts? Once a quarter, say aye. Thumbs up?
Sure.
Okay. Two times or one time a day? One. Say one. Okay, once in the morning. Copy.
Rotate early and later.
Yeah.
Sure.
Later.
Sure. Every other quarter, early, late.
Did you croutons with the council member in the evening?
Okay. And then sign up, and when it comes out for the next quarter, put your name in. If you were there last quarter, you don't get preference for people who didn't make last quarter.
Perfect.
All right. We're adjourned.